You know, in 2 years, we've been able to kind of carve out a life in Harrisburg, and it's been good, and spent 20-some years in Berks County, but for my money, Lancaster's always going to be home. A little bit weird coming here under these circumstances, kind of troubling times that we're in, lots of uncertainty, and it just kind of feels like there's a lot of division, and people divide it wherever you go. Whether you're talking about the upcoming election, is COVID overblown? Should we send our kids back to school? Should we be coming to church? Or Black Lives Matter, where people seem to be screaming on both sides. So I've kind of tried to process all of this, my sort of meta-kairos, or my big life takeaway from these last few months, is that I need to get uncomfortable. I feel like I've spent my whole life just trying to carve out comfort, trying to just be comfortable. I might listen to a conversation of somebody that has a problem or that made me feel uncomfortable, but would walk away without conviction or action. As I would take in news, I'd make it fit into my own worldview and make it fit into my little bubble. And found it much easier to care for people who fit into what I thought social norms should be. And as craziness sort of reigns around us, I kind of had to get a little bit more basic, and so to take the old 90s phrase, what would Jesus do? And it's a shame that in the 90s that kind of became a little cliche, but it's really very true, and something as Christians we should be doing all the time, is asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? And I think I can say with great certainty, he would pray. And so that's really where we all kind of need to start, is just praying and asking God that we're really checking our heart. And so I say, pray early and pray often. Luke 5:16 tells us that Jesus would often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And so as I prayed, and I started checking my heart, and I started listening to what God wanted me to share this morning, there are three things that I believe we can say with great certainty that Jesus would do if he was here today, and we should be doing as well. First is to know when to act and when to let our actions speak for themselves. We need to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations, and when in doubt, remember the great commandment. Now, knowing when to act and when to let action speak for themselves takes a little bit of discernment, and anybody who knows me or remembers me probably knows that I have often said that as Christians, we should let our actions do the talking, or some version thereof. There's no need for street corner soapbox preaching when we live the way that God wants us to, because it runs so countercultural, you thought I was going to say a different word, to the world. So I think of it as like a cartoon when there's a fire burning and people run to grab a bucket and you think it's water, but you're really throwing kerosene on the fire and it makes it worse instead of better. When we use confrontation in an already volatile situation, we think that our strongly worded and brilliant argument on Facebook is going to make everybody agree with my point of view and make everybody see things my way, which is obviously the right way. But I believe that most times situations call for diplomacy, calm actions. Take this story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery that we read in John chapter 8. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? They're trying to trap Jesus. They were using this as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is out without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and leave your life of sin. Now, I've read lots of conjecture on what Jesus was actually writing in the dirt, but the point is that he didn't fall into the Pharisees' trap. He's going against the grain, and he dismisses the situation. But we also see in Jesus' life that sometimes you need to act. In Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13, we read that Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of money changers and benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Jesus did not just get everyone's attention and ask them to politely file out the back door. He messed some stuff up. He saw something that was so utterly offensive to his Father that he took action. My dear friends, I've had to look in the mirror and ask myself some hard questions. Questions like, if denial of human rights in many different forms is not getting me upset, then where's my heart? The Bible is a written history of God speaking out for people trying to protect those who cannot speak out or protect themselves. And I believe when basic human rights are violated, when a part of God's creation is systematically oppressed, God is deeply offended. Now, I can only speak for myself from here. And for far too long, I was quiet, complacent, seeking comfort, not saying anything for people who didn't have a voice. Maybe it was because I didn't want to cause friction. Maybe it was because deep inside I even believed some of the rhetoric. And at some level, I turned a blind eye to people in need. But it can't happen anymore. And it's bigger than Black Lives Matter. And yes, of course all lives matter. But to dismiss that movement by saying all lives matter is just short-sighted. Missing the point about a group of people who have been systematically oppressed for generations. Now, many of you may be where I am or was or still are, saying, okay, I recognize this is an issue, but what can I do? I think we need to start with information. Read books, listen to podcasts, talk to smart people, especially people who don't believe the same things that you believe, and ask yourselves hard questions. I honestly believe that racism has been installed in our family cultures unintentionally by very well-intentioned people for generations. In a culture of white privilege that didn't make us look at ourselves and ask the hard questions. The hard questions like, why are my papers sticking together? Don't be afraid to utter the words, I disagree. Two simple words, but two powerful words that if you hear other people spewing bigotry, can be profound. I disagree. If you want to grow, put yourselves in uncomfortable situations. There was a time when coming into the sanctuary in July was an uncomfortable situation, but that's strictly by lack of air conditioning. But truly, this is my struggle. My whole life, I worked to get comfortable. But I've had to come to terms, and I still have a long way to go, that the terms white privilege and white fragility are more serious and run far deeper than I ever realized. And I have realized that realizing it is actually the easy part, because now I'm commanded by Scripture to do something about it. Because I felt God move in my heart. So again, we turn to Scripture. In John 4, we read the story of the woman at the well, a story that I'm sure many, if not all of us in here, are very familiar with. Jesus is traveling through Samaria, which is, of course, filled with Samaritans, who are half-breed Jews. To say that they were despised would be an understatement. There were literally laws forbidding interaction. Jesus approaches a woman, asked for a drink. He just engaged in a daily activity, which led to a conversation, which allowed Jesus to show his grace. It lays out a formula, if you will, a practical application that now falls on us. Now, the pandemic has led to some social restrictions that might make that a little more difficult, but it also gives us time to prepare our hearts. And I got to admit that I think there's some irony that we've preached at this church, I know, for a very long time about getting to know your neighbors. Now your neighbors are around more than they've ever been, and we're supposed to stay away from them. So if you choose to use social media to do some outreach, a few suggestions. Let people know what you're for, not what you're against. Use facts, not your feelings. Allow others to disagree, even if you know they are wrong. This is a lesson that I teach a certain 9 and 6-year-old every single day, and they're not getting it, so I hope we can. Don't get into shouting matches. Has nothing to do with my sermon. I just figured that if I came here and I didn't say it, some people would be very upset. I remember in theology class, Dr. Ken Miller would intentionally sort of poke at our beliefs, things that we held dear, things that we tried to defend, and he would just kind of shake us, but he made us own it. And in the course of class, as he did that, you would feel out of control, like a sense of a lack of peace in your soul, because doctrine that you've held to so tightly for your whole life was being challenged. Then he would end class by reeling us back in. He'd calm the waters and assure us about what he believed. But there's two really important things that came out of that for me. One is that I would not have the convictions in my beliefs if I hadn't had them challenged like that, if he hadn't made me think through it and own it for myself. And the second is knowing that we need to have that calm assurance at the end. It's okay to get worked up, and it's okay to challenge and question and even doubt a little bit, but we need to have that calm assurance in the end. And I feel like that's where a lot of us are. It's where I am right now. World events have me shaking my head and questioning things that maybe I long believed or thought. Now I'm not so sure. It might be making us question our own belief system. Even if the end result is good and God-honoring change, change can still shake us. It can still make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. The really good news is we're going to be stronger on the other side of this. And we will. And we're going to get through this. All of it. And remember that as Christians, the worst happens, we still have eternity in heaven. So let's end today with the calming part. There's probably some copyright and friction there, but we'll look past that. When in doubt, remember the great commandment. Matthew 22, I'm just going to read a portion of what Andrew already read. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." So if you are confused, upset, uneasy, shaken, angry, hurt, miserable, vulnerable, or any combination of these emotions and so many more, turn your eyes to God. So since we're not going to stay here till 12 o'clock, let's just do a crash course on how to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, especially in a socially distant time. Number one, the one that'll never change, quarantine, not quarantine, good, bad, in the Word every day. It's the beginning and it's the end for all believers. In the Word, reading it for yourself every day. Praying continuously throughout the day. And, you know, sometimes we read that passage and like, how do you really do that? How do you actually pray continuously throughout the day? So intentionally think about what you were reading in the Word throughout the day. Intentionally think about God in every part of your life. Talk with someone that you trust and make God-honoring actions. Now, God-honoring actions, we're looking for ways that we can serve, and it's a core value that I can vouch was preached here for over 10 years, and now I think it's magnified. Serving other people. Because as our culture continues to move further and further away from God, it becomes further and further me-centric. I mean, you can blame social media. You can blame parenting. You can blame removing God from things, and it's all true on some level. But the pandemic has done nothing but magnify the me-centric or egocentric culture that we're in. The church is not immune from that influence. It seeps in no matter how hard we try. So we need to recognize it and adjust to it. We need to get back to loving our neighbors. Now, that might look different. It might look different in 2020 or 2021 or whenever we get through this all the way. But we can start with prayer. Start by praying for our leaders, the ones we like and the ones we don't like. When we're being asked or told to wear masks in public, it's not an infringement on our liberties. It's a plea to think about other people ahead of yourself. Think about what you're saying and who you're venting to. I can't imagine there's a person in this room that at some time in the last 4 months hasn't come to the point where they just needed to vent. Be careful about who you're venting to. Don't click send. Find somebody that you can actually talk to. When you're in public, ask yourself, what is edifying? What is actually helping other people as I say this? And be bold when you need to be bold. Be creative about how you're giving your money and where it goes to. These are the kinds of things that we can be doing where maybe we can't be going over and having dinner at our neighbors the way we may have talked about other times. The bottom line is when you focus on God and really listen to Him, the opportunities to serve are going to be easy to find. Just have the courage to do them. So we need to know when to act and when to let our actions speak for themselves. Put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. And when in doubt, remember the great commandment. So let's get a little uncomfortable and remember that underneath all of it, God is still in control. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege it was to be back here. The privilege it was to talk to you as I prepared this and you prepared it through me. Father, you've been doing some amazing things in the midst of some crazy situations going on across the whole world right now. So, Father, I pray that as we do leave, that we are hearing you, hearing from you, and being moved through uncomfortable situations to do the right thing. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve.